You are listening to BensTorah.com.
In a couple of days, we'll be observing the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And I want to deal with a very interesting topic, which many people have a curiosity about. And I felt it's important that I should answer. And this specific inquisitiveness that people always have. And that is, it's quite interesting to note that throughout the year, certain Yom Tovim fall out at the same time certain Parshas HaShavua take place in our weekly Chumash Machzor, the way that the Parshas HaShavua coordinate with the Yom Tovim, the months of the year, the holidays of the year. There is a specific sequence, a specific connection between the Parshas HaShavua and the Yom Tovim and the holidays and the other events taking place that we experience in the Jewish calendar throughout the year. One thing is for sure, that the Yom Tov of Chanukah always comes out when we're basically involved in dealing with two Parshios, Parshas Vayeshev, and furthermore, Parshas Miketz. Usually Chanukah is sandwiched between both of these Parshios. And if that's the case, the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is the relevance, what is the relationship between Parshas Vayeshev and Parshas Miketz and the holiday of Chanukah? And if we're able to figure out what the relationship is, we'll have a better understanding of the incredible phenomenon of the Ness of Chanukah, what it represents, what it symbolizes, how that specific event dates back to the time of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and the Bris Bein HaBesarim. So listen very carefully as I share with you a very interesting insight to this specific question. And it's based upon a famous Medrash Chazal that they have on Parshas Vayeshev. We know on Parshas Vayeshev that Yosef was sold to the Yishmaelim, a caravan, by his brothers. That was the infamous phenomenon of Mechiras Yosef. He was brought down to Egypt itself. It ended up that he was sold to one of the most powerful people in Mitzrayim to become a servant in his specific household. And this specific individual, who basically is Potiphar, is his name, was the chief executioner, a power player in the entire infrastructure of the Egyptian society. And in that specific household, despite the fact that Yosef had no familiarity with Egypt, had no familiarity with their entire culture, the Torah tells us something quite interesting. That Yosef seems, when he was brought down there, he was ultimately matzliach, he was successful to be raised in that household to not merely a servant job, but he was given a supervisor job on the household. It says because of the chen, the grace he found in his master's eyes, vayifikateo abeso, he literally made him the controller over all that takes place in his household, the Egyptian household. And everything that he had, nosem biyado, Yosef supervised everything that belonged to this ish mitzri. And the Ish Mitzri realized that there was a blessing given to him by some mysterious God that Yosef mentioned continuously. In fact, he introduced this Egyptian to the concept of God, and that what he's seeing is the blessings bestowed upon him by God. V'birchas Hashem b'chol asher yesh lo b'bayis v'b'sadeh. And Yosef was very, very successful as a person who's in charge of one of the most powerful people in Egypt's household. All their possessions, all the business phenomena, everything that was taking place in this person's home and business was under the control of this Yosef HaTzadik. Now, what is interesting and fascinating, but also a little depressing, is that in the context of this little Yosef HaTzadik doing what he's doing in a very ethical, moral fashion in the household of this Egyptian, the wife of this Egyptian personality was a very, very immoral individual. And the Torah tells us that since Yosef was a very, very handsome young man, hold on a second, please. Hello? Yeah. Okay. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to call you back because I'm giving you a lecture now, but I already printed out all the stuff and I'm going to call you back. Okay? Very good. So the Torah tells us that this Yosef was a very handsome young man, Yifei Toa, Yifei Mara, and it seems that this Eishes Potipera solicited him to commit an adulterous act with her. She says, Atoma shichfa imi. And quite obviously, Yosef HaTzadik, as he's called, Yosef HaTzadik, refused profusely to even think about such a thing. Vayamayan, he totally said, absolutely not. And therefore, if that's the case, he would not cooperate, he would not participate. He said to him, Eich esa haroha gudol hazos, how can I commit such an evil? Chatos el elkim, I'll be sinning against my God. And he refused her desires to basically have a sexual relationship with him. But this Eishes Potipera, because she was an immoral individual, part of the immorality and sexual perversities of the Egyptian empire that they were known for, Dabra Yosef Yom Yom. Every day she drove him crazy. Every day she tried to entice him. And every day he said, no, no, absolutely no. All of a sudden, the Chumash tells us in Pashas Vayeshev that he came to the house on a day that most of the menfolk of the house, if not all of them, had gone to their idolatrous temple. The wife of Potipera made believe she was sick, she wasn't feeling well. And as soon as Yosef entered the house and there was nobody else there, Vatispaseu bebigdo, she grabbed a hold of his clothing. Once again, she said to Yosef, Shichfa imi, I want to commit adultery with you. And what was the reaction of Yosef? Vayazov bigdo biyoda vayonosa vayneitze hachutza. The baggage she was holding on to, he just took it off. He ran outside to escape having anything to do with her. And the fact of the matter is, the expression of vayonosa vayneitze hachutza is mentioned multiple times. Nas pasuk it says vayonosa hachutza. Later on, once again, it says, Vayetze hachutza. Later on, once again, it mentions, Vayonas hachutza. So it seems that she kept on telling over the story to people of the household, finally to her husband. She got her husband angry enough to put him into prison. Thank God, her husband, who could have, did not execute Yosef. But he knew his wife was an immoral person, so he didn't really trust what his wife said with 100% accuracy. But we see the story being portrayed and played out in the parsha. So Yosef never committed any sin, etc., etc. What, however, is interesting is what is Chazal's Kabbalah and Torah Shabbat Peh. What phenomenon prevented Yosef HaTzadik from committing a sin? So Rashi comments, bringing a Medrash Chazal, Sheniris lo demus diyukno shel aviv. He quotes the Gemara in Sota that it appeared in his eyes a vision of his father Yaakov. And when that vision came into his mind, that gave him the strength and the ability and the capabilities of literally not being impacted based upon the solicitations of Eishes Potipera, gave him the ability, the strength to withstand her, pick himself up and leave the house, and literally save himself from any act of, God forbid, of immorality that she was trying to entice him with. That's what Chazal say is what happened to Yosef HaTzadik over here in this part of the parsha. So the million-dollar question, which is asked by all the Mefarshim, what is the meaning that he saw an image of his father, Yaakov? And how did seeing the image of his father, Yaakov, give him the ability to overpower his Yetzer Hara and to overpower all the statements she made to entice him, to try to cause him to sin? In fact, Chazal tells us in other Midrashim, the Marsot as well tells us, that she kept on changing her clothing from one beautiful garment to another beautiful garment to try to make herself as sexually attractive as she possibly could to Yosef, to try to convince him to give in. So she tried everything possible to seduce this young Jewish boy, but he survived, he overcame it, and the Demus Diukno Shel Aviv is what's given the credit, seeing his father's image in his mind to prevent him from sinning and going on with his life. So everybody asked the question, what does that mean? Do you mean to say if you have a picture of a mishpacha member who's a tzaddik or tzaddik is hanging in your house and you're tempted by tremendous temptations to perform a sin, looking at that picture all of a sudden will give you the self-control that you need not to violate Averos? There are many people out there who have pictures of ancestors, of very, very old ancestors, great tzaddikim, great tzidkaniyos, hanging on the walls. But we know for a fact that despite that, they gave into their desires. They gave into the various types of temptations that they were confronted with. And watching that picture was not going to accomplish the feat of saving them from being nichshol in sin. How did Yosef accomplish, by looking at his father's picture that was in his mind, something that most people cannot accomplish by doing the same exact thing? What is the meaning that he saw the mustyukno shel aviv? It doesn't say he saw the mara, the picture of his father, but he uses a very interesting expression. He saw the demus diyukno shel aviv. And what I want to share with you this morning is, what is the meaning of demus diyukno shel aviv? What does that mean? Because once we understand what that means, that will therefore explain to us how Yosef overcame this specific temptation and was able to go on with his life and had the schus because of this kavishus hayetzer to be called for eternity Yosef HaTzadik. His encounter and his separation from her and holding himself back from all the temptation and seduction and maintaining his purity of spirit and being, maintaining his religiosity, his spirituality, and not violating anything, that earned him the title, which is not everybody's title, he's called Yosef HaTzadik. How did he accomplish this? What is the meaning of the Musti Yuknai? So I want to share with you this morning an incredible Chassam Sofer, where the Chassam Sofer is equally bothered with the question I just posed to you. And the Chassam Sofer says that he has an incredible pshat and interpretation of the events that took place. And he has a very, very specific answer to this very difficult question of how did Yosef HaTzadik save himself. And he points out that the answer goes back to Parshas Lech Lecha, when the Rabbanu Shalom appears to Avram Avinu in the famous prophetic vision that's called the Bris Ben HaBesarim, we know that the Rabbanu Shalom makes various promises to Avraham, and later he confirms it to Yitzchak, and later refers it to Yaakov, concerning the relationship that Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and all the future progeny is going to have with the Rabbanu Shalom, b'chvoido u'b'atzmo. And we're basically speaking, the Rabbanu Shalom promised them was the following promises. He promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the Bris Ben HaBesarim that Hashem will be their Mogein, which means he'll be the shield of the Jewish people and protect them from any activities or attempts of genocide to the end of time. No person, no nation, no entity will ever be able to eradicate all the members of the Jewish people. They'll always survive. Was basically the promise of HaKadosh Baruch, I'm your Mogen, I'm your shield. All of our Shemona Esrei, we repeat three times a day, and even on Yom Tov, starts with the first bracha of Mogen Avraham. The shield of promise of protection of Hashem to Klal Yisrael, which is given to Avraham, is the theme of the first bracha in Shemona Esrei we recite every day. The second haftacha, which is nogea to today's shir, was a very interesting discussion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had between Avraham and himself. When the Rabbeinu Shalom said to Avraham that you are going to have the schus to have children and they're going to inherit you, they're going to continue your spiritual legacy, Avram said in a very depressing way, Rabbeinu Shalom, I don't have any Zerah, any children so far with Sar Imenu. The only person who's around to inherit me is a person who is the domestic Eliezer, my servant Eliezer. And so who is the children of the present and the future you're referring to? B'derech HaTeva, I was told by the physicians of our time that Sarah is incapable of bearing children. What her chesaron was is a big debate in Midrashi Chazal. Some say her internal organs that help produce a child were damaged or some were missing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to Avraham is quite interesting. And this is the part that I'm going to focus in on. In Bereishis Tezvav, which is the Bris Ben HaBesarim, after Avram says, who's going to inherit me? Sarah cannot produce children. It says, Vayotze Oisei HaChutza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avraham outside into the street. Vayomer, and he said to him, Habetnu Hashemayim, look up into the heavens. Usafar hakochavim, count the stars. Imtuchel lisparosam, do you have the capacity to count how many stars that are out there? Vayom alone, and Hashem said to him, Ko yiye zarecha, your children will be numerous, and they will be in continual existence as the stars of heaven. Now, what was the message that the Rabbanu Shalom gave Avram Avinu when he says, I don't have children, nor am I capable of having children with Sarah because of her physical deficiencies? What was Hashem's answer in this promise? So Chazal's answer, and Chassam Sofer quotes this, what Hashem told Avraham is unlike the rest of the world that is bound by natural law, and that is referred to by Chazal as the Mazalot, the natural law and phenomenon in the world. Everybody in the world from all other nations are bound by natural law of the universe. You, Avraham, and your progeny and your progeny's progeny to the end of time are not going to be bound by natural law. The Gemara in Shabbos uses the term "ein mazal li Yisrael." The Jewish people are not bound by mazalot, by natural law. We are basically able to circumvent, overpower, and literally go against natural law. And when Hashem said to Avram, "Vayotze oso hachutza," the word hachutza is critical. What he basically said to Avram is, your survival and that of your children and children's children to the end of time will be chutza, outside, meaning mechutz midarech hateva, outside the laws of natural law. You will not be bound by the impediments of natural law, natural impediments of physical incapacities. You'll be able to overcome impediments of natural law, supersede them, and Klal Yisrael will live, starting with the Avos onward, Lamaila Midarech HaTeva, above natural law. Natural law will not literally limit their capacities. And this applies not only to childbearing, it applies to their ability to make panasa, their ability to survive and fight wars against armies that are much more powerful than them. Politically, they will be powerful. We will have capacities to do that as a nation, and even as yechidim, that other nations and other individuals of other nations on the face of this earth don't have the capacity to do. Because they are bound by natural law. You and your progeny will never ever be bound by natural law. And that's why later on, going against natural law, Sarah is told she's going to have a baby at an advanced age. Avram was past childbearing ages. She was past childbearing ages. When the Malachim came and Pashas Vayera later on and made a besura to Avraham, that Sarah is going to give birth to a child from you in a year from now, they were talking about a besura in prophetic vision that ran against the natural law of the age calibration and the physical incapacities that were possessed by Avram and Sarah. But they gave that nevuah based upon the promise in Pashas Lech Lecha that Avram and Sarah and all the future progeny that comes out of them from Klal Yisrael are not bound by natural law. They're going to function mechutz miderech hateva. That was the promise. That was the major promise, besides the fact that we are indestructible. But the promise we're going to function mechutz miderech hateva was another major promise of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. A third major promise was the promise of us getting Eretz Yisrael as our homeland eventually, which Klal Yisrael got Baruch Hashem. That was the third promise. And the fourth promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a very important promise. All of this is true if you are spiritually deserving of what I am promising you. If you have the spiritual merits, then all the things I promise you will come to fulfillment. If, God forbid, you don't have the spiritual merits, you undergo a spiritual decline, assimilate, acculturate, intermarry and such, many of the promises I made to you will not be kept momentarily until you do tshuva and you return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and become people who are observers of Hashem's divine laws and you live up to your reputation as being the Aman Yivchar. Then those promises made to you by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Bris Bein HaBesarim will be returned to you in their entirety. These are the four promises of the Bris Bein HaBesarim.
You are listening to Ben Sofer.
Comes along the Chasam Sofer, and he says, after hearing and watching this discussion between Hashem and Avraham, I now understand certain expressions that are mentioned in Pashas Vayeshev that I alluded to before. The question I posed, how did Yosef HaTzadik have the capacity to overcome the seduction and the temptations and all the promises and even threats made by Eishes Potipara to him? How was he capable of not sinning? So the Torah tells us very, very specifically the unique expression that I mentioned before. And what is that expression? That when she grabbed a hold of him, Vayonos Vayetze Hachutza, he ran out and he escaped. And the expression Vayonos Hachutza is mentioned multiple times. Says the Chasam Sofer, the Torah doesn't mention expressions endlessly multiple times. There aren't extra words in the Chumash that are not necessary to be there. What is the word Vayonos and Vayetze telling us? To say that he was able to run outside, the Torah should have said Vayaz Bigda Biyada Vayetze Achutza. Why does it keep on mentioning Vayonos and Chutza? Why does it keep on mentioning Vayonos and Chutza? So Mechadesh the Chasam Sefer, the word Vayonos doesn't only mean to escape, but it's a lashon of Nes, a miraculous escape. And how was the miraculous escape done? Vayonos HaChutza, by Yosef being empowered to function l'mayla miderech hateva, above the concepts of natural law, that empowered him to give him the ability to overcome the impossible, to maintain his purity of spirit, his spiritual essence, and be able to continue a life of tzidkus, of Yosef HaTzadik, the rest of his life. He was able to have a miracle come along, as was promised in the Brisbane of Asara Vayetza Achutza, that you'll overcome all obstacles in this world, Shaloi Miderech HaTeva, Michutz Miderech HaTeva. Bechutza, you'll function Michutz Miderech HaTeva. It will be a miraculous existence that Hashem gives to the Jewish people, an incomprehensible existence that the nations of the world will never understand. The famous statement mentioned by Mark Twain of how is it possible that Jewish people have still survived to this very day, while all the great empires on the face of this earth, the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, tried to destroy them, and they did not succeed. The Jews are chai v'kayim to this very day, and these major empires ultimately collapsed, faded out of existence, are now in the dustbin of history. Mark Twain and all the other non-Jews in the world, especially anti-Semites, cannot figure this out. But we know what the answer is. The promise of the Bris Beda Basarim, of the Magen, the indestructibility of the Jewish people, and the fact that when we're confronted with all different types of obstacles, whether it's a national obstacle or a private individual's obstacle in life, Hashem says, Chutza, in the schus of your davening, your learning, your acts of tzedakah, Torah, Tefillah, Tzedakah, you'll be able to be Mava, the Roah, HaGezerah, whatever impediments exist. You'll supersede and overcome natural law and accomplish what you have to accomplish in a miraculous fashion. The Torah gives Eidus that Yosef was able, B'derech HaNes, to overpower the natural law that was confronting him. And he was Vayonas Achutza, that miracle, and the bracha of Achutza, the Brisbane Abbasarim, is what allowed Yosef to save himself. What does this have to do with the Demus Yukno of Aviv of Yaakov Avinu? So Chazal tell us that Avram gave over the message of the Bris Bein Abasarim as a spiritual legacy and a promise to Yitzchak. Yitzchak then taught this over to his Yorish, his inheritor, who was Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, of course, taught this to his children, but there was one child of all the children. He felt he had to explain this principle of the Bris Bein Abasarim to in a much more lengthy way, because he sensed that the nisyonos that Yaakov had to overcome, and that is not being influenced by Lavan and the idolatrous environment that he was found for so many years, and was spiritually able to maintain himself. Im lovin garti v'tadiyak mishra shamarti l'amati m'masif ha'arayim. How did Yaakov overpower the natural influence of assimilation, acculturation, into marriage? It's because he remembered the promise given by the Rabbeinu Shalom to Avram in the Bris Bein Abasarim that was given to him by Yerusha. That when you do things l'shem shemayim for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the shem shemayim shagu b'piv as it was in the mouth of Yosef HaTzadik, he always felt close and intimate to Hashem no matter what he did. And that intimacy, that connection between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, made him spiritually worthy to receive the shmira of all of the potential brachos and promises given in the Bris Bein HaBasarim. Yaakov remembered how it saved him, and he was able to overcome all natural impediments that he was confronting on every level, saving him physically and spiritually. Says, even the Malach said, you've been able to overcome all obstacles. Yosef was taught this hashkafa by Yaakov Avinu before he left his household to search for his brothers. And now Yosef HaTzadik is no longer in his father's home. He's in foreign territory. His life is at stake every minute. He's in the Egyptian Empire. Ironically, he's in the house of the most dangerous person in the Egyptian Empire, the chief executioner. He's put under an assignment of seduction by the executioner's wife. And what does Yosef do? He just doesn't see a picture of his father in his mind, but he remembers the hashkafa that Yaakov imparted to him from his early youth concerning how Yaakov was able to overcome all the physical and spiritual obstacles that he confronted during his lifetime, and taught him the brachos and the haftachos of the Bris Bein HaBasarim. The Must Yukla doesn't just mean the physical image of Yaakov appeared to him. The Must Yukla means the hashkafa, the ideology of his father Yaakov, which he inherited from Yitzchak, who inherited from Abraham, who got the hashkafa given to them directly in a prophecy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bris Bein HaBasarim. That the Must Yukno prophecy given to him and taught to him by Yaakov was utmost in his mind. And he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm being challenged physically, spiritually, sexually. I need your help, Rabbeinu Shalom. Give me the energy I need. Hashem heard Yosef's bakasha, and the Torah gives Eidus, Vayonas HaChutza. Hashem performed a miracle, Sholei B'derech HaTeva, LaMalach MiDerech HaTeva, MeChutz MiDerech HaTeva. He escaped this terrible situation, survived spiritually and physically, and was later on given the title to this very day of Yosef HaTzadik. According to the Chasam Sofer, the connection of Pashas Vayeshev is the fulfillment and an example of the fulfillment of the promises of the Bris Bein HaBesorim, that if you act with spiritual perfection and dedication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem Shemayim Shogah Bepiv, you will be indestructible, physically and spiritually. You will be able to survive and overcome all obstacles by miracles that's what kept Yosef alive. That's what El ultimately gave Yosef a tzaddik, a miraculous Yeshua, to be taken out of prison and ultimately appointed by Paro to become the viceroy of the Egyptian Empire. A nice little Eilecha Jewish boy becoming the most second powerful personality in the entire empire of Egypt, which was the superpower of that specific historical period in time. It's nothing less than a miracle. Everything had to take place only with the permission of Yosef. This, according to Chazal, was the power of the Bris Bein HaBesorim. This was the power of what saved Yitzchak and later Yaakov from the onslaught of an Esav and the onslaught of a Lavan Shebikesh Lakar Esakoil. Yosef survived when it comes to the physical grip of Eshes Potipera, saved himself ethically, morally, spiritually, and got out of there and was able to become a major spiritual personality in the history of the Jewish people for all generations to come, became the viceroy of Egypt, was able to save Yaakov and all the children, his whole family, allowed them to grow physically and spiritually in the Egyptian Empire, gave them unique places to live, and they flourished in Mitzrayim under Yosef HaTzadik because of the power he held, but the power that was given to him miraculously by the supervision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yosef HaTzadik. This is the Hashkafa that's presented with us in Pashas Vayeshev and Miketz. So you'll say to me, Rabbi Flaum, very interesting drasha, but what in the world does this have to do with Chanukah? How does this explain the miracle of Chanukah? So I'm going to give you a very simple answer in the next couple of minutes. One of the most powerful tefillahs which we recite on the Yontif of Chanukah is the Al Hanisim. Al Hanisim, Al Apurkan, Al Gavuras, Al Teshuas, Al Melchamos. We say this right after the tefillah of Modim, which we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracles that we see, and even the miracles we don't see. The nisim nigloin in our life, and the nisim nistarim of our life. And then we have the famous piyut put into the Al Hanisim, describing the miracle of Chanukah. B'mei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai u'banav. Kishe'amda Malchus Yavan HaRasha'ah. The evil Greek, Seleucid Greek Empire, came against Amcha Yisrael. Lashkichem Teresecha. They were out to destroy us spiritually, to make us forget the Torah. To make us violate the laws of the Torah, to eradicate Judaism and Yiddishkeit and replace it with Hellenism and idolatry. What does the piyut say? Atah berachamecha harabim, Hashem, with your great mercy, amadlehem be'esarasam, you stood fast for the Jewish people in the time of their tzara. Rafta es rivam, you fought their battles. Danta as dinam, you basically caused the judgment of Shemayim to be given. Nakamta nikmasam. You wreaked vengeance against our adversary. And what did you do? Masata giborim biyad chaloshim. The most powerful army on the face of the earth, the Greek Empire army of Alexander the Great, was given over and destroyed in Eretz Israel by chaloshim, by weak Kohenite priests. Rabba miyad miyatim. The mighty numbers of Greek soldiers were defeated by a small group of Jewish fighters. Tameim biyat tahirim, people who are contaminated with the spiritual contamination of this crazy world philosophies that the Greek Empire articulated, were defeated by people who are tahirim, pure because of their kedusha satira. Rishon biyat tzadikim, wicked people who are bloodthirsty, were given over to people, the Kohanim, who were tzaddikim. Zaydim biyat oske serasecha, people who were purposely rebellious against every principle of Torah, were literally put under the control and defeated by people who are oisek in Torah day and night. Ulchasis Hashem Gadol v'kadosh v'lamecha. This was a kiddush shem shemayim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was seen in the entire universe. Ula amchi Yisrael asisa tshuva gedola uporkin kayam hazeh. Achakach bo benecha, after they defeated them militarily, they went into Dvir Vesecha to the Beis HaMikdash. Pinu hechalecha, they cleaned out all the idolatrous elements of the Hechel. Tiru migdashech, they purified the temple once again. Hidliku neiros v'chatzres kachecha, they lit the candles in the holy courtyards of the Beis HaMikdash. V'kavu shemona yamei chanecha elu lahodos lahaleh l'shimcha hagadol, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holy, great divine name. The Chasam Sofer says, what is the relevance of Yeshev and Miketz and the Brisbane of Asarim to Chanukah? The answer is everything. What do I mean by that? There was no reason that a bunch of religious priests of the Beis HaMikdash should think they have the capacity, b'derech ha-teva, to fight an army of Giborim, professional soldiers possessing the latest weaponry of that time. Not only did they have better weapons, Rabba miyad miyatim, there were more Goyisha soldiers of the Greek army than Jewish fighters. How is it possible? V'derech ha-teva, this should be an impossibility. How did they accomplish it? So the Piyut in his brilliance tells us the answer. You know how he did it. We were Tahorim and the Goyish army were Tameim. The Jewish army were Tzadikim and the Greek army were Rishayim. The Jewish army were Oiske Serev Secha and the Greek army were Zaydim. What does that remind us of? The promise of the Bris Bein Abasarim, that if Klaius will maintain our spiritual purity, and with Tehorim, and with Kedoshim, and with Oiske Serasecha, nothing in the world of natural law, politically, militarily, on any level, even when it comes to bringing children in this world, nothing will serve as an impediment to the Jewish people, who are not bound by mazala, who are not bound by natural law. We're going to function chutza, michutz, midarech ha-teva. Everything that confronts us will be illogically overcome, even though another nation and individuals have that capacity. Hashem promised that capacity to the Jewish people. You'll be indestructible physically and spiritually. You'll overcome all types of obstacles that are confronting you, whether in producing children, as Avraham and Sarah had to deal with, or fighting military battles against odds that are simply impossible to even think we have the capacity to overpower. We'll fight miraculous wars. We'll be able to perform all types of activities on a political levels that no other nation that's been in Golus as long as we have were able to accomplish, to change the hearts and minds of the non-Jewish world, to want to return the Jewish people to their homeland as happened in the 1900s. Upon those events, the Aguda wrote in their history books, Me'es Hashem Hoyezazos, He Niflas Pe'eno, it's a miracle of Hashem that He gave the Jewish people the capacity to overpower the incredible armies of the Arab world that wanted to destroy them. Literally, they fought them with weapons that were totally inferior to what the Arabs possessed. The numbers of Jewish fighters were nothing compared to the millions of Arab soldiers that were opposing them. We didn't have a fancy air force, tank corps, and other sophisticated weaponry which the Arab world had. But if Hashem wanted us to win, and He wanted Klal Yisrael to have the promises which they were promised in Tanakh fulfilled of our ultimate return, and yeshivas were growing and Torah was growing, we had bombs falling on Old Yerushalayim, falling on the roof of the Mir Yeshiva. And guess what? Later on, they found this bomb which fell on the roof of the yeshiva never exploded miraculously. This can't happen by an accident. It's the promise of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're doing things L'Shem Shemayim. And we're doing it as Oskei Sarasech and Tehirim and Kedoshim. Nothing can stop us. Nothing can stand in our way. It was this Hashkafa of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. The stories of Yaakov and the stories of Yosef HaTzadik. Accomplishing the impossible, shalai b'derech ha-teva, michutz m'derech ha-teva, because they were oiskei seres echa. They were tahorim, they were kedoshim. They saw what they were able to accomplish. So the konim and the beis hamikdash said to themselves, ma'isa av asim ulabanim, the whole Torah, and especially Sefer Bereishis, is a guidebook to us and all later generations how we can experience nisyonos experienced by our forefathers and following in their footsteps overcome every force on the face of this earth that's attempting to threaten our existence physically and spiritually. The Al HaNisim recite on Chanukah tells the whole story of the impossibility of the battle that our Kohanim, the Chashmonaim, had against the Greeks. They were stronger than us, mightier than us, more numerous than us. But that did not stop the Chashmonaim fighters, the Kohanim, from overpowering them. Rabba Miyad Miyatim. Why? Because we were Tahorim, Kedoshkim, and Oskei Seres Echa. We fulfilled the formula given to Aaron, Yisrael, and Yaakov. And later on, Yaakov saw it with his own eyes. And later on, Yosef experienced it with his own experiences as well. That when we retain our Tahar and Kedusha by being involved in continually Oskei Seres Echa, Hashem says, I promise you indestructibility and functioning mechutz miderech hateva. That's a promise for the Jewish people for all generations to come till the end of time. Chanukah is a result of the promises of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, the Maisa of Asim HaLabanim, which especially they saw when it came to the circumstances of Yaakov and the Shiftei Ka, and the circumstances involving Yosef HaTzadik. We know exactly what our power is. We have bitachin and emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if we throw our bitachin into mimiskite on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, And we say to Hashem, we've done all we can, b'derech ha-teva, to accomplish a kiddush shem shemayim. Hashem will reward us, help us, assist us in accomplishing what we want to accomplish, because the ultimate goal of all that we do accomplishes two things. Not only does it accomplish the salvation of the Jewish people physically and spiritually, but it accomplishes, as we say in the Piyut, Asis Hashem Godlav Kadosh Balamecha, we cause the ultimate Kedosh Shem Shemayim to take place, where people see how Klal Yisrael, the Am Anivcha, the Am Segula, is watched, guarded, and protected by the Rabbeinu Shalom as his Am Segula, b'chvod b'atzmo. This, my Talmidim Talmidos, is the Musa Shmuz of this week's shir as a hakdama to the Yom Tov of Chanukah. When you now recite the Alanisim and the Shemoneh Esrei in the bench, you'll now know what the power of this is all about. You now understand the relevance and the connection of Chanukah to the Yom Tov of to the Pashas of Vayeshev and Miketz. That's why in our Jewish calendar, the Yom Tov always takes place during these specific Parshios. Let's hope and pray with the help of the Rabbeinu Shalom that the current Nisyonos that Klal Yisrael are facing today around the entire world, that we will show to HaKadosh Baruch Hu we are still Kedoshim, we're still Tahirim, we're still Oiskei Seresecha, Mais Avesim Levanim, we are still your Am Segula. We're going to make sure the Shem Hashem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally enhanced and lifted to the point that we cause it to undergo a Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Shem Shemayim is Havi Adecha, the world will develop a love and a fear and understanding who Hashem is and who we are as His chosen people. And Chazal tell us that recognition who Hashem is, Hashem Hu Elokim, the only God, and Klal Yisrael being the only chosen nation on the face of this earth, and Judaism being the only chosen religion for the Jews, and the only religion for the non-Jews being the Noahide religion, being B'nai Noach and Chassidu Mesa'olam, the world will see this at the end of time. We'll have the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash. The miracles of the first and second Beis HaMikdash will be restored in the third Beis HaMikdash. We'll be able to see Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad will be known as the only God of the universe. The whole world will be worshipping our Ribbono Shalom. The Beis HaMikdash will be the only place in the world people come to pray. Ki Beisi Beis Tefili Yikari L'chol Ha'amim. Not only the going won't destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they'll protect it, they'll guard it, realizing the segula it has for the existence not only of the Jews, but of the entire world at large. Let's hope and pray. Lashana hazeh, lashana habab, Yerushalayim habanuya. Let the miracle of Chanukah inspire us to go forward and see the coming Mashiach, tzidkenu amen v'amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.